Good evening and welcome back to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board from me, Tim Dennis, my co-host and producer. If you want to meet Tim and I, feel free to give us a call this week. We're going to be out at the Rosedale AMC Theaters. We have free passes to see the brand new horror movie, Quarantine, and you can be a part of that with us. Give a call in. Each pass is good for you and a guest. If you want to be out there, the movie starts at 7:30. You should be there by 6:30, but call in now to get your free pass. Don't just show up, because we won't let you in.
That's right.
That's right. You got to call in and get your pass. We've given out almost all of them. I have about 10 passes left for this evening. Friday night, I'm going to be out, hopefully meeting Lisa Williams with you out at the Earl Brown Center in Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center area. If you're interested in coming out and being a part of her gallery for the readings that she does and hear about her and what she does, you can call into The Edge Life at 888-810-2065. 888-810-2065. Tell them you heard about it on Darkness Radio. And hopefully we'll get a chance to meet you out there for that. Also, check out our website at darknessevents.com. Join us out at the Halloween party. We want you to be out there with us and have some fun. Got a lot of cool stuff going on this year. It's our first annual Halloween party. We have almost the entire staff of Darkness Radio is going to be joining us. We have Tim, myself, Nicole, Susan, Adrian, and Bree. All will be out there. The only person we're missing, Timmy, is poor little Billy Murphy out in California.
Charlie Murphy.
But we'll give him a call and we'll make him talk to us on the line and he'll say hi to everybody at the event. Aww. I also want to point out real quickly for those of you that might be interested, next week, Tim, we have an exciting show coming up again. This has been a great weekend. Two fantastic guests that we've had over the weekend. And next weekend, psychic medium Robbie Thomas, who is a world-renowned psychic medium and has helped on numerous cases that he's been able to help close for the police. He is actually going to be with us, and we're going to talk to him about his life, his career, and we're going to be able to throw him five cases, and he's going to do a live on-air reading for us and see if he can give some information that might help the police to, figure out the crimes and give them a little insight. It's kind of our own homage to our good friend Patrick Byrne's television series, Haunting Evidence, which is back on Saturday nights now.
Yep, it is.
And you can watch that. It's every Saturday night, 9 p.m. Central Time, I think 10 p.m. Eastern Time on True TV. We're going to do our own Haunting Evidence right here at Darkness Radio, so I hope you'll be here with us. And then next Sunday, we're exploring how to photograph and videotape UFOs. This is really an amazing show that we're going to have because these guys are good at what they do. And we're going to be putting up some of their evidence that they've collected on our website as well. But right now, we're going to go back in talking about near-death experiences. Our guest is Dr. Diane Corcoran. If you're interested in finding out more information about near-death experiences and joining the organization, you can go check out their website at IANDS.org. We'll have that link up on our website as well, IANDS.org. Let's welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town, Diane Corcoran. Thank you again for being here with us, Diane. I appreciate you spending time.
I'm happy to do it.
We do have, before we went to break, we were talking about a little bit off of the subject of near death, but we were talking about pre-death experiences, and we had to unfortunately cut it short to go to the top of the hour break. Can you finish up what you were explaining, and then we'll take a call? We have Kathy online.
Terminal patients, cancer patients, frequently do have more than one near-death experience. They kind of go over and come back and go over and come back, and so it's not unusual, and they are seeing people there who are prepared to greet them, just like we talk about in the near-death experience. They may be greeted by deceased loved ones, and it is very usual, and not unusual at all for children. Sometimes we even have it that will, at the time of death, they are seen talking to somebody that nobody else sees. So, and it might have been a grandparent that died at that very moment, and they're saying goodbye. So, I mean, there are people that are existing in a spiritual existence, and these people who are dying are seeing and talking to them. And I've seen that with my own mother. And the minute you get somebody who looks, as our caller described, who is looking at the ceiling or looking past you and smiling or seeing something that clearly you're not seeing, frequently it is someone that is there to greet them. And, of course, that's the aspect of dying that everybody's afraid of. Is it going to be alone? Am I going to, is there anything past there? And frequently we hear from people who will literally say, Mom, Dad, their husband, their name, I'm coming. and they are seeing these people, and for many people, this is a huge sense of support and alleviates certainly a lot of fears. That is the single most common characteristic of people who have near-death experiences are not afraid to die. They know what it's like. They know where they're going. And so although they're not in a hurry to get there, right, they certainly have been there, and so they're not afraid anymore.
Well, we'll talk about that after we take this call. I've got Kathy from St. Paul online with us. Kathy, thanks for being a part of the show this evening.
Hello. Glad to be with you. I have had about, if I've tried to write them all down, but about 56 experiences throughout my life, and I had a near-death experience. I had a dream one night, and my husband was alive, and he was sleeping next to me, and I had a dream one night that it was too late. I tried to walk up to him. He had a shirt on, a blue shirt he always wore, and he was standing next to his race car, and I tried to hug him, but it was too late. And the dream translated to be that precognition-wise, it would be too late, because when I woke up, I thought, I was so glad he was alive, you know. Well, 6 months later, he was dead. But, I was 21 at the time. Now I'm 57. I was very suicidal at the time because I had been an abused child, called crazy, everything else, all my life. And crazy was the one that really always set me off because, you know, I would have things that other people don't have. And, I went up to make coffee after this dream. After I was sure he was alive, I went up to make coffee upstairs. We were in the basement. And I was suicidal at the time. So I made the coffee, and I was coming down the stairs. I knew I was blacking out. I felt my whole body turn black. It was like pain from my head to my toe. And I knew I was going to go out. And I went to the top second stair, and I just let go because I wanted death. And while I was out, because that's the last thing I remember, while I was out, when angels talk to you, you can't hear them, like, vocally. You just know. And I knew I had the choice between life or death. I chose death. Hello, you know, because right, I was that way. And David, I could hear him. That was my husband's name. He was screaming at me, Kathy, wake up, Kathy, wake up, Kathy, wake up, screaming as loud as he could. And to me, it sounded like he was like 2-3 blocks away, and he was screaming and crying. And when finally I came to, you know, I felt sorry for him. That's the reason I changed my mind about dying, because I felt sorry for him. There were tears in his voice. And so I changed my mind, and I decided to live for him. And when I woke, came to slowly, it took me 45 minutes to get back to normal, but when I came to slowly, his voice, he was actually on top of me, slamming me up and down on the bed, screaming in my face to wake up. And the first thing I felt was bee stings all over my body. It was like bees were stinging me. And I went into, no, first it was the cold sweat, the sweat that just, it all comes out at once. And then bee stings all over my body. Then it was a loud buzzing alarm clock. Then it changed to a loud ringing alarm clock. And in 45 minutes, I was kind of back to normal. Mm-hmm. But I was really glad he was alive. And, well, hey, 6 months later, that's the precognitive part of me, and I've had so many people, like people I know, people like I work with, people I have had contact with.
Right.
Okay, they always come to me if they're with me or if they're not with me. They come to me and say goodbye. Okay, and my mother, the last one I had was a real, well, I have a ton more, but the last
one. Yeah, we can take one more. We have some more calls we have to get to, so give me one more, and then we've got to move on to our next caller.
Yeah, I had a precognition. And it was like, you know, somebody's going to die. And my mom was real interested in all that stuff. So I went and called her right away. And then she said she was going to have a minor something. And I thought immediately, do not tell her, you know. And it was her that died three days later.
Well, Kathy, I'm glad that you're still with us. And thank you for calling in and being part of the show tonight.
Okay, and I would like to meet some other psychics who are crazy like me.
Okay. Well, you know, if you're interested, like I said, they're going to be doing, you can contact The Edge Life. I know Lisa Williams is going to be out in Brooklyn Park doing readings this Friday. I think there's still some tickets available, and you probably meet a lot of other psychic sensitives there.
I could. It would be amazing for me to get together with some, because I think when we get together, we get stronger.
Right. Well, give a call and see if there's tickets still available. You can call them at 888-810-2065. Again, that's 888-810-2065, and try to get out there for Lisa Williams. Thanks again for calling in, Kathy. What did you make of that story and the different experiences, Diane? I mean, is that something, again, that's pretty normal?
Well, I mean, she's talking about numerous different kinds of experiences and kind of mixing several things together. So, you know, it's really hard to sort out, and I don't think it's talking about a near-death experience. She's talking about...
Well, with her experience of falling down the stairs, and what I thought was interesting is she said she chose death at first, and then because of the feeling that she had for her husband, she chose life. Have you heard of people that have the ability to choose the life? I mean, do you think when we go there, we can choose?
We have had people who have had classic near-death experiences and have been told, you know, you must go back, and they'll tell us, no, I didn't want to go back. I wanted to stay here. This was a wonderful feeling, but the next thing I remember is waking up in my bed or in the emergency room. So, yes, there are some people that will talk about that. Some will say, yes, I had a choice. Others say, no, I didn't have a choice, or I wanted one thing and something else happened. So certainly within the context of a near-death experience, that has happened. I'm not sure, given the description, that what she had was a near-death experience, but in classic near-death experiences, we have had people talk about a variety of aspects like that, where they either chose or what happened was opposite of what they chose.
Well, we're going to take a break here real quick. We'll come back. Marley in Boston is online, and she has a question. We'll get back to that.
Okay, fine.
And Diane Corcoran is our guest this evening. We're talking about near-death experiences. If you want to be a part of the show, give us a call. Or if you'd like to join Tim, Nicole, and I out at the horror movie this Thursday, special screening of Quarantine, we do have about 10 tickets left. Give us a call. We'll be back with more Darkness Radio right here. Darkness Radio, the paranormal radio show. That's what you're listening to. And we're here every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 p.m. to midnight. Tonight, we're talking about near-death experiences. And our guest is Dr. Diane Corcoran. And we're discussing other people's stories or sharing questions that they've had with us and getting some insight from Dr. Corcoran on the many cases that she's been a part of. Let's go ahead and we'll take Marley's call, Dr. Corcoran. Is that all right?
Sure.
All right. Marley, you're calling in from Boston. Welcome to the show. What can we talk to you about tonight?
Hi, thanks. Just wanted to ask a question. My sister had a near-death experience in April of 2001. She had a heart attack, and then she also flatlined in the hospital and had a second near-death experience. And what was interesting was she was very enlightened and very spiritual and very hopeful for about 2 months after that, and sort of changed her life after that. But since then, she has fallen back into her old ways of stress and worrying about money and only caring about everybody else instead of herself and her health. It's like she made this purposeful choice to not learn a lesson from her near-death experience. And I'm just wondering if you've ever run across that, Diane, and how, as a family member, you can help a person that is in a stressful situation and can't really identify with what they've been through with a near-death experience?
Well, it could be a couple of different things. You know, as a family member, it's wonderful that you're there to support her. She may be afraid of the whole concept of that, acknowledging that she had a near-death experience. There could be lots of reasons why she's doing this, and unfortunately, some, you know, we can't quite identify that. We typically, most people will go on to try to learn more, become more enlightened, work and study on, you know, what is their purpose, because they're very grateful that they are back, and they will follow that route. Maybe getting her more information about a near-death experience, maybe you could, you know, get her a membership in IANS, and where she would get this information in a newsletter, and she would start to relate to it better, understanding that she's not alone, that there are a lot of people that have these experiences. And we do some of our papers, we try to talk about some of the challenges of people integrating aspects of the near-death experience. I mean, it's not something they usually need therapy with, unless they necessarily needed therapy before the experience.
Right.
But, you know, they could use some support, and maybe that's what she needs. I mean, it certainly wouldn't hurt for her to talk about it. Maybe she's just denying it, and she just, you know, and that's her way of just, yeah, pushing it away and just kind of delving into
behaviors
she had before.
It was. And how lightning and wonderful and how loved she felt during it. I mean, she does acknowledge that, and it was very important to her. And for a very short period, she adjusted her life and got healthier and was exercising, mm-hmm, and taking care of herself. But then immediately fell back into her old ways of stress at work and worrying about money. And it's like that never even happened now.
Well, you know, Marley, and I don't know, Dr. Corcoran, if you want to weigh in on this as well, life is what life is. You know, we've all had life-altering experiences from time to time. We have things that, you know, a movie, a song, you know, something that makes us stop and think about life and how we should appreciate it. And then within a week or two, we're right back into our old patterns, because unfortunately, life is still right here in front of us, and we can't live on the, you know, the joy that we felt briefly. Not everybody's good at holding on to that.
Well, I think that's true, David, but a lot of people do change their life, and I'm sorry that, you know, for her, she has not been able to do that, but it's all about free will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can choose to follow the enlightenment and follow the path and learn more about this life and be grateful for what you have, or you can deny it and get tangled up in all the other aspects of it, and certainly nobody ever took the free will away. And I would, you know, try to explore it with her and see if she will talk to you about it at all, maybe. And you may want to just give her some information and see if she'd be willing to talk to other people about it, if that would be helpful. But you can't help people that aren't willing to help themselves, unfortunately.
Is there links on your site at IANDS.org that people can find other locations in their cities and states to talk?
Yes, there is a place there called the Local Support Groups, and it will show you in every state where, in addresses and contacts. You can also write to services@IANDS.org. And write to any of us and ask questions. But we do have a place, it does happen to be a group in Boston. And I think that's where you said you were from.
Oh, I'm in Boston. She's in Florida.
Oh, she's in Florida. Well, there also, yes, there's depending on where you go, there is a group in Florida as well.
Excellent. I'll point her to you, and I appreciate your answers.
Thank you very much, Marley.
Thank you.
You know, this is going to be a big grenade to drop in your lap, Doc, but I want to get your thoughts on this. What can you tell me and my listeners from what you've learned, from what you've heard? Like I said, what's always spurred me on is I have this overwhelming fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
I want the answers. I want to feel this. I mean, I've had strange experiences in my life, And that my near-death experience, if that's what it was not a comforting thing. You know, it was just a massive noise and frightening right. loudness and just weird. And then the loud no. How do you deal with people that have a fear of death and don't know what you know? What can we do to research us to get answers that we can maybe find the answers that haunt us?
Well, I think what we can do is, teach them, let them read about near-death experiences. I actually have changed my own philosophy and opinions about dying as a nurse. One never wants to see somebody die, but now I would handle that differently and have helped folks make that transition because personally, after reading all these things and listening to people, I think it is a very comforting thing and can be a comforting thing. So I think a lot of it has to do with reading experiences, reading more about it. I recently did a talk, and I thought it was very interesting, at a retirement home. And I was absolutely amazed that 150 people showed up at 8 o'clock at night from this long-term retirement community. And several of the people came up and asked, they had experiences. But one little lady came up and she said, "I am so glad you're here because now I'm not afraid anymore." And that's all she just needed to hear, my lecture. And for her, that was good. She wasn't afraid anymore. And, you know, if you can make one person not afraid by talking about what we can't guarantee anybody anything, but certainly by listening to people's experiences has changed my own view on it, and I think it helps a great deal to read about near-death experiences and do some reading and work through other people, learning about their experiences. Because what we do know is even people who have distressing experiences ultimately integrate it into their life in a positive way in which it makes them less fearful. So I think a little more reading and maybe actually talking to some people who had experiences would be helpful for you and might give you a different feeling about it.
All right, Dr. Corcoran, thanks for that. We're going to take another break here. We'll come back. We'll talk some more with you. We've got about a half an hour left in the show if you'd like to be a part of the show. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Our guest tonight, Dr. Diane Corcoran, and we're talking about near-death experiences. I'm curious, Dr. Corcoran, do atheists have near-death experiences, and has it changed their outlook and perception on religion or faith?
Yes, we do. We have people of all faiths and denominations that, or lack of faith altogether, that have near-death experiences. At least I have met a couple who were atheists prior to their near-death experience, and I would say it certainly changed their belief in some kind of a higher power, and they became much more spiritual after the experience. So it's not unusual for somebody who has absolutely no belief in God or anything to have a big change in their orientation after a near-death experience.
You know, I'm curious, too, with this. Do you know people that have, of like, maybe Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist faith that will have a near-death experience to come back and change to Christianity, or Christianity that changes to a different religion because of their experience?
I don't know, and I can't think of anything right offhand. That is something that, I mean, if somebody is a Buddhist, they're not likely to see Christ in their experience. They're more likely to see whatever significant religious being there was in their own faith or culture, and that is the one thing that does tend to change culturally. There certainly could be people. I have heard of people, I've talked to a priest, for example, who had a near-death experience, and he said, well, it's very difficult because I have been taught through my religion a great deal of rules and regulations, and actually what I learned through my experience was it's all pretty simple. You know, we need to be more loving, forgiving, and caring, and that's what it's all about. It's about forgiveness. It's not about rules and regulations and the whole. So, you know, he was less religious, but I would say much more spiritual. So and I'm sure there are some folks who have changed, you know, all of these things are difficult to document in terms of the research that really needs to be done. But most of it has to do with changing from being maybe very religious to not being quite so religious in one denomination. It was too confining for them based on their experience.
What about the high suicide rates among people who've had NDEs, people who've experienced that peace and happiness and then kill themselves so they can get back to it?
No, that really isn't the way it happens. Actually, if they had a near-death experience during a suicide attempt, they're less likely to ever attempt suicide again because they know that's not the road to travel, not their decision, and they know what it's going to be like, and they're going to go back there someday. So they just seem to be less likely to attempt suicide. It really doesn't work the way one would think so sometimes, but we really don't have that phenomena happening that they're more likely to commit suicide.
You know, you touched on a good point about, you know, taking time now. So many people lean out to mediums and psychics and people like that because they want to make contact. They want to have closure. They want to do this. I would guess in your field, you probably run into a lot of people that also live with a lot of regret for not having had the chance to say goodbye. And do you find, I mean, you know, John Edward, the famous psychic, you know, he does his own TV show. He says, the best thing for you to do is to make things right in this lifetime so that I don't have to be here to help you do it in the next one.
Well, I think there's certainly a point there. But I think also what's possible is if we know people can live in a spiritual plane and you have this experience where you were able to see or talk to someone who is previously deceased, I have a sense that people are around a lot and that you could continue to talk to them and try to make things right. And I always tell parents and people who are trying to be with somebody who is dying, it's really the dying person's choice whether someone is there or not. Sometimes they really want to save somebody from that experience. And trust me, you can spend a many day sitting 24 hours a day, and if that person doesn't want you to be there when they die, the minute you slip out for 1 second to go to the bathroom, that'll be when they choose to leave. I warn people about that because it's not about them. It's not really their choice, and it may be just something that people who live very privately sometimes want to die very privately.
Do you have people that you've dealt with that have come back? Are there stories of not pleasant near-death experiences where they visit hell or they visit a not good place? It's not light and joy and love?
Well, I personally have talked to only two people who have had what I would say a more distressing experience. I have not talked to anybody who has this hellfire kind of experience. The experience they had was a little more lonely. It was they didn't see a lot of people. There wasn't a lot of music. They were by themselves, and there was a lot of contemplation. And, in comparison to people who, see beautiful flowers and landscapes and deceased people. But it's really difficult for us to tell. I mean, it's very, very difficult for people to talk about positive experiences. So it's not as likely that people will come forward very easily about more distressing. We try not to call them negative experiences. As I said before, a lot of these people have integrated their experience, whether it wasn't as pleasant as other ones, in a very positive way where it still made them less fearful of death and have integrated other things about it that just didn't become negative, because we certainly know that nice people don't have all nice people have nice experiences, and people who aren't very nice don't have nice. It doesn't work that way. We have people that of all walks of life, some of them who are not very nice people who have very nice experiences. So it's It works in a lot of different ways, but most people try to integrate it, and that is our purpose, certainly, to try to help them integrate it in a positive way.
I'll throw you kind of a strange curveball here, just because we've talked about this in the past, and we've heard stories of people that have dealt with this, that have circulated on the web, and I've met it at events. How about with the near-death experience? Have you ever had anybody that dealt with what they believe was alien contact during that time?
I have never heard anybody talk about during their near-death experience having an alien contact. I have heard of people who have said that they had alien contacts, through other times or places, but not particularly associated. And me personally, I'll just speak for myself, have I ever had anyone tell me that they had an alien contact during their near-death experience.
Anthony from our chat room is asking a question. I'm going to try to do my best to hear to explain it. I guess his question is, have you ever encountered somebody who had an out-of-body experience where a living person has crossed over to the other side and spoke with dead relatives and actually comes close to the boundaries that separate us and whatever lies beyond, and then that person came back to their body? So it's not a near-death experience, but an out-of-body experience.
Well, there certainly are people that have out-of-body experiences and learn to do this. And, that's very possible. And as I said, it's one aspect of a near-death experience. And there are people who claim, like John Edwards, who claim to be able to speak to the spirit world on the other side. And I certainly have no reason to believe that there aren't people that can do that. If they can do it during a near-death experience, I'm sure there are other folks who can do that, at other times. So I think it's certainly possible that could happen during an out-of-body experience.
As a nurse and doctor and having been around people that have passed away, there's that famous deal that when the spirits pass on, that they actually lose a little weight, that there's something that happens at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been witness to a death where you saw a light, you saw a being transform or leave?
I have witnessed, of course, many deaths, either in Vietnam or through my own family. I was with my mother when she died. I have been with people. I certainly could say that I felt you can see a transition happening. And the weight part, that's not something you could actually do unless it was measured. And I understand maybe they've done some studies in Sweden and done with that. But there is a sense of sometimes just a translucent or a feeling of light or something leaving the body. There is a sensation. There are lots of things that you get to see. And as a nurse, you can tell. There's a certain look that you can say, okay, this is happening now,
mm-hmm.
Going to happen in a few minutes, and we need to make sure we can surround this person with love and caring and a sense of feeling loved. Certainly that's my wish now. I don't think we knew enough to do that earlier, but we do know that is the best way to do that now.
All right, we're going to take our last break of the evening. You're listening to Darkness Radio, and our guest is Dr. Diane Corcoran. We're talking about near-death experiences. If you have a point or a question you'd like to get in for the doctor before we let her go for this evening, you can call us, or if you're calling from out of state, 800-270-5560. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. You're listening to Darkness Radio. You're listening to Darkness Radio. We're here with you every Saturday and Sunday night from 9 p.m. to midnight. Be a part of the show. Also, if you want to talk to Tim and I, pass along any tips and hints on who you'd like to hear on the show, email me at dave@darknessradio.com or tim@darknessradio.com. And if you have news stories for either our international or our local national news representatives, Bree or Adrian, go to our website at darknessradio.com. Click on the news desk segment there, and you'll be able to email both Bree and Adrian. Let them know about the news stories you'd like to hear covered on the show. And if you have book reviews, movie reviews you'd like to see on the show as well, then go to the book and movie review section, click on it, and there's information you can email to both Nicole and Susan to get them in the loop about books and movies that you'd like recommended on our show here. Again, we have about 5 passes left. If you're interested, this Thursday we're going to be out at the Rosedale AMC Theater seeing the movie Quarantine. It is a special sneak preview for us and our listeners. If you're interested and want to come out to it, you get to see it the night before everybody else. Give us a call. Each pass is good for you and a guest to come on out and enjoy the movie with us. Again, we're going to go back to our guest now. And again, if you want more information or you'd like to become a member of the near-death program that Dr. Corcoran is with, you can go to the website IANDS.org. Again, that's IANDS.org. I'll ask our man Mike or Delia in the chat room to add that link to our website. Again, IANDS.org. And Doc, we've got about 7-8 minutes left here in the show. What do you think is important for people to know? What would you like to pass on to people from this point to help them in their understanding of near-death experiences?
Well, what we know is there's millions of people out there that are having these experiences that are afraid to talk about them, you know, and don't know what to do about them. And please, yes, you know, get to our webpage, the International Association of Near-Death Studies. Write to us. Get with somebody and talk about it. And the other part of it, I think, is every healthcare provider and every parent and teacher ought to know the basic aspects of a near-death experience. So when a child says to you, I had this happen to me, you're not saying, oh, you just made that up or this is a dream, or because it can shut down somebody for years and years and years. And as a healthcare professional, I think I have spoken to many people around the country, it is a necessity for them to be able to be informed and be there to support the person. They don't have to believe any specific thing themselves. But, you know, when people have these experiences, and frequently they happen in hospitals, and for children, frequently they happen at home in near-drowning situations. And so these people need to be able to own their own experience and help get them information from organizations. There's certainly hundreds of books out there now. I would also say for the person who was talking about people who are dying of cancer and they're having different kinds of behavior at the end of their life, there is a book by Maggie Callanan called Final Gifts, Communicating with the Dying, that is a classic, wonderful book to help you with those kinds of people. But it is the near-death experience is a phenomenon. We have millions of people out there. We know it happens very frequently, and there are people walking out of hospitals every day. And so I would ask their family and friends and people to be supportive and help get them information, because you can turn around almost anywhere these days and somebody is there who's had a near-death experience. They probably just have not told you about it, and because they're maybe afraid of your response. And so we need to be open and supportive of these folks.
I'm more worried about all the millions and millions of people out there that are having near-life experiences and need to learn to...
That's certainly right now, and that's very critical. And I think that if we would allow people that more altruistic, that more forgiving nature, some of these after effects literally could change people's lives. And personally, as a veteran, I am very, very concerned about all the veterans coming home because of the kinds of injuries they're having. They're going to have a lot of near-death experience, and yet there really are not facilities in the Army or VA that have a lot of knowledge about this. I used to do it when I was on active duty, and I actually have a research fund started in IANS so that I could go out and do some training for their healthcare providers, because they don't need a psychiatrist. They're not going to need, many of them are going to need help based on the number of rotations and their experiences. But near-death experiencers typically don't need that kind of help, but they are going to need some support, and we need to find a way to help our veterans and be there for them.
Well, doctor, if you have someone who can't deal with an NDE, say someone's had an experience, or you have relatives that can't deal with the fact that, like, say a relative is passing away slowly and having these experiences with the other side, and they're not to talk to a psychologist because they're not crazy, how do you recommend people get help?
Well, hospice is a wonderful place to get help for people who are in dying slowly or in a terminal illness. Most hospice workers are very familiar with these kinds of things, and that's where we would ask those people to get help. For people who are having near-death experiences and having difficulty getting help from family or stuff, well, we have many resources, and they can write to us, and they can ask us questions. They can have us work with their family. They can take them to a meeting in the area, local area, where they have a support group for near-death experience. So, and right now, there's lots of information out there. There are a number of books. PMH Atwater has some wonderful books, so they have resources where they can get information, and I think information, accurate information, is one of the best guides we can give to people and families right now. But we're always available. That's the International Association of Near-Death Studies is a single organization. Its purpose is to provide support and education and disseminate research about near-death experiences, and we will try to get them to someone that can be supportive for them.
So how, doctor, do you convince somebody that a near-death experience is not a traumatic event but a life event?
Well, you know, I learned a long time ago to try not to convince anybody of anything, but what I do try to tell them is if you will look at the aspects of your experience and look past some of the things that happened to you, it will bring many things in your life into focus. And we've had many people who have never really paid much attention to their life, and after their near-death experience, they are so in tune with nature and the connectedness of each other and all of us that it really is almost frightening to them, because I do believe we're all connected in one way or another, and what happens to one, you know, happens to many people, and we are all going to die someday. So this is something that you know, we ought to get some information right on, and we ought to get some training and be available to help with. A lot of books out there on parenting and birthing, and so it's time to get some information on how we can support people who are dying and provide them love and support, and people who have had near-death experience the same way.
Thank you, Dr. Corcoran. Where can people reach you if they want to talk to you and contact you?
They can reach me through the website services@ians.org. And email me at that email, or through the organization. There's a link there that they can email to the organization, and it will get to me if they send it to IANS.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for helping me to allay some fears tonight. Let me know that there is something better coming up, and hopefully more people will do more research so that we can make the best of the life that we have now and make sure to say goodbye the right way with the people that we have in our lives.
We
and
only have
things
this
right.
One, but yet we all know one out of one goes, so we ought to get some preparation for it, I think.
I totally agree with you. Well, thank you again for joining us, and hopefully we'll have you back in the future.
Okay, happy to do it anytime.
Thank you very much, Dr. Corcoran, and thank you all for tuning in to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Join us next week. It's going to be an exciting show for us. We're going to be working with famed, world-renowned psychic medium Robbie Thomas, who has an unbelievable track record for helping to solve cold case files, missing children files, things like that. Robbie is going to come on the show, tell us a little bit about him. We're going to present Robbie with up to 5 different cases to see if he can shed some light on these cases for law enforcement officials and get some answers. Maybe we'll even help solve a crime or two here. We're doing that in honor of our good friend Patrick Byrne's show, Return to Haunting Evidence. It's on every Saturday night now. You can check it out on True TV, 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check local listings for times in your area. Again, that's on True TV. We'll be back again next week with you. And check out Darkness Events so that you can join us for the Haunted Halloween Party in Sauk Center at the Palmer House Hotel. We do hope you'll join us there. Thanks again, everybody. I appreciate your time spent with us this weekend. We'll be back next week right here.